So we get some interesting news earlier today, and it'll be interesting to see how this impacts 2020. But the NFL owners today, they basically have reached an agreement where we're talking about a 17-game regular season, which will not take effect this year but next year, but something that would take effect this year, adding an additional AFC team and an additional NFC team. So you would have, instead of 12 teams in the playoffs, 14, but only two teams getting byes. And that's kind of important, too, in the sense that I saw this stat earlier from ESPN that you had to go all the way back to 2012, the last team to make a Super Bowl without getting a bye week. And with this new proposal that the owners have already agreed to, the players will start talking about it tomorrow and vote on it next week. That eliminates the two byes on each side of the league. Your thoughts on how this works out?
Well, it certainly rewards the team for a good regular season, you know, and it puts a value on getting that bye. So there is a reward to that. And I know that I saw some people last night saying it devalues the playoffs, and it's like, no, it doesn't, it doesn't devalue the regular season, because we're still 14 teams out of 32. You're still not at half of the teams in the NFL. Look at the NBA with 16 of, 30 teams going into the playoffs. In the NHL, we see 16 teams get into the playoffs. So it is tougher still, even with the additional two teams that would be added, tougher to get into the playoffs in the NFL. But, you know, the one thing, as good as this all sounds, and for people wanting a new CBA, no lockout like what we had back in 2011, one of the things that I personally think certainly put Mike Munchak's start as Titans head coach that year behind the eight ball in a big way, is that the players still have to approve this, okay? It's not a done deal till they vote and approve it. So let's tamper the expectations just a bit. So, in the NFL statement, Johnny, boy, it was almost like, we've got a deal. It's going to the next century of football, but we're not going to comment anymore. It was almost like, you know, give us this time in our privacy to, you know, to deal with this. And it's like, let's put it this way. Once it's a deal, there'll be a whole lot more people willing to talk about this and get out on the record and celebrate this. Because let's face it, to get a deal done going into the final year under the current CBA 2020, that would be amazing. So, and makes you wonder about the Titans, who are one of the teams that were maybe potentially looking at using both the franchise and the transition tag this offseason to help with Tannehill and Henry. If the new deal does go into effect, you know, it's like, how does that affect teams like the Titans, who might have been planning to use both of those tags? So at this point, I want more details. I want more information. And, Johnny, I want to see if the players actually do approve all this.
Well, here's the thing. Percentage-wise, we're talking about one of the big reasons why the players would go for it. They're shifting from where they are today at 47% up to 48.5% of the revenue. You go, oh, what's the big deal? We're talking about an additional $5 billion that would be going to the side of the players. Now, obviously, not everybody's going to benefit as far as, you know, all that money in one. But it's from when you look at the stretch of the CBA, that's the reason why the players would go for this, just because of the financial impact it would have on them in a good way.
Exactly. But, you know, if they're willing to give $5 billion this early, you know, it makes you wonder, is there going to be somebody that says, well, what do we get if we push a little harder? Because, you know, that human tendency is to say, if they're giving it to us this quickly, this early, and what they benefit from is a 17th game, more playoff games, and things like that. We can see the obvious benefits for the owners. And again, you know, it would be going from 47 to 48.5. So, you know, let's just see that. You know, maybe it's the cynic in me. I remember 2011 very, very well because I helped cover that lockout for the entirety. And, until a deal is done, Johnny, it's not done, no matter how good it seems at the moment.
We are speaking with Teresa Walker from the Associated Press. Teresa, Johnny loves preseason football. Is there any way they're going to add a fifth preseason game?
That's a little sarcasm.
Okay. Are they talking
at
all?
I'd like to see him cut it to two.
Amen.
Is that on the book? Is that on the table?
From what I was reading last night and today, it looks like maybe going from 4-3 is on the table, along with cutting back practices, which I'm thinking coaches have got to be just, you know, screaming about, because what do we hear about in the first month of every season? Poor tackling. And, you know, that's the problem. Trying to help with safety of the players, you know, something's got to give. And if you're giving players less practices, then that's less time to practice tackling. So something's got to give. But, yeah, I don't think there's anybody who would be bemoaning the fact if they went from 4-2. Certainly when they went from 6-4, I didn't hear anybody complaining then.
I mean, the only people that would complain, Steve and Teresa, are the ones that are those fringe players that need that extra game, those final 4 or 5 roster spots. But when you're talking about 90-plus percent of the roster happy if you go from 4-2, I don't think that extra 5% or the extra 10% of the player is going to outweigh that 90% that would be happy with it.
Well, and that's the thing, and that very well may happen. But and that's the thing. We haven't really seen polling of the players, for sure, to tell us what they might think about this. So we're going to have to just wait and see. I know that everybody, you know, if you love the NFL, you're thinking, yay, there's a deal. And I don't want to come off as the pessimist, guys, but let's just wait. The devil's in the details.
That's usually, you know, me. That's usually me being that, taking that role.
Yeah, Johnny's always glass half full.
Yeah.
Or half empty.
He's ready to just move forward all speed ahead. Now, I will say this. For teams like the Titans, who do have, you know, some key free agents to deal with, getting a deal done before the league year starts helps them, because, you know, one reason they wanted to do this is they've been trying to get the new TV contracts extended since the start of last season, you know, 2019 in September. They were hoping to have those done before then. So getting some labor security helps get the TV deals, and that's going to help the CBA. But, you know, where it really helps is in the salary cap. That would go up ideally, especially since the ratings for this postseason, the Super Bowl, were up over last year, and that's going to help the NFL. So might help bump up the number that the Titans and John Robbins are going to have to be fitting players under. But, you know, right now it's just cutting it a little close to the wire. And, you know, again, I want to see all the details. I'm not really to get excited just yet. It's a good step.
Well, when you look at – yeah, Teresa, when you look at the Titans, put your John Robinson cap on. Are you who would you franchise tag between Tannehill and Henry, and which one of those players do you think it would have more of a negative impact on?
That's a good question, Steve. And my hunch is franchise tag Tannehill. Why? Quarterback. And, yes, I saw the stuff over the last 24 hours about, you know, Titans and Tom Brady. I mean, let's face it, there's people been drawing that line since these teams practiced together last August. You know, Tom Brady rejoining his buddy Vrabel with the Titans. You know, who knows? That could end up happening. But if you franchise Tannehill, that certainly tips your hand of who you want as a quarterback. And, you know, starting Tuesday is when teams can start, you know, franchising or putting the transition tag on players. With Henry, transition tag him. And what that does is, if another team does make an offer, you know, just tell him from the start, we're going to transition tag you, because we're going to let the market help set your value.
I like that.
What we think it is. And when they make that offer, we plan on matching it. We don't want you going anywhere. You know, it's all about communication. You know, and Derrick Henry, let's face it, what we've seen out of him for the last 4 years is nothing to indicate a guy who's going to throw a temper tantrum or suddenly become a diva because you didn't massage his ego nearly enough. You know, yes, you should make a guy who is your NFL rushing leader feel valued, but communication does that. And if you tell him, listen, we're going to transition tag you, and then when somebody makes an offer, we're going to match it so fast your head will spin, but we just want to let somebody else help, you know, tell everybody how valuable you are. And then, you know, with quarterbacks, guys, you know, those guys can last longer, especially Tannehill going in. He'll just be 32 this year. And for people who want to get Brady, I'm sorry, he's going to be 43 this year. And, you know, I remember Peyton Manning at the end of his tenure in Denver. No, he didn't win that Super Bowl. The Broncos and defense and Von Miller won that Super Bowl.
He was one of 15 on third down conversions, Teresa.
Exactly, and you just don't know when Father Time is going to say, sit it down, Tom Brady, you're done. You know, Ryan Tannehill, you can get 4 to 5, maybe 6 years out of this guy for sure. And for all these people thinking 2 or 3 years, what are you thinking? This is a quarterback coming off an incredible season. You know, by now, you've got the tools around him. You saw what he did in 10 games. I want to see him for a whole season, maybe 4 to 6 years more.
But here's the thing, too. We don't know. He's got a new agency representing him, so we don't know what the asking price is. And the beautiful thing about it from the Tennessee Titans, this is a buyer's kind of market. You know, the Tennessee Titans are in a great situation knowing all the big-name veterans that are out there right now. And Ryan Tannehill, yeah, nice year. Well, not even a nice full year, you know, because of, as you just pointed out, we didn't get a full season out of Ryan Tannehill.
He led the NFL in average yards per completion.
I understand that, but we don't know. But remember, what got him there, too, was the fact that the defenses had to be honest about a Derrick Henry. It makes it a lot easier to do your job at quarterback when you've got a running back where they have to, like, put extra focus on Derrick Henry. And look, last time I checked in the free agent market or just period throughout the league, I don't see many Derrick Henrys out there. Somebody that size who can run that fast. There's plenty.
He's worth points when he gets off the bus, Johnny.
Right now, there's free agents that are out there that in some cases you would say they're even better than Ryan Tannehill. So if Ryan Tannehill starts asking for the kind of money that's not friendly to the Tennessee Titans and that salary cap, you know, why not look elsewhere?
Well, two things, Johnny. I mean, you know, the agents that he just switched to, one of them helps represent the GM. So, you know, that's a pretty close relationship right there.
So that's all three, though, then, right, Teresa? It's Henry, Tannehill, and Robinson?
But they're all separated as far as...
It's the same office, though. They're talking to each other.
It doesn't matter. They're all... From that standpoint, you know, they're thinking about their own individual needs. You know, the agency's not thinking, well, we're going to make sure we keep this client happy, so we're going to, like, take... You know, it's all going to be treated separately.
Well, here's the thing that's the advantage for both the Titans and Ryan Tannehill is he's seen what he can do in this offense with his coordinator, with pieces around him. And, you know, guess what? That's a pretty good bargaining side for both sides. And when you look at all these lists of free agents, Ryan Tannehill's not at the top of that list. You know, he was beaten out by guys who are old like Breeze, Brady, Rivers. And excuse me if I'm not getting so excited about Phillip Rivers. I'm not so sure that, you know, just a simply better offensive line is going to help him fight off Father Time much better either. So, you know, yes, Tannehill does have some advantages, but he's not exactly at the top five of all those lists. So, you know, I just think that, you know, the best situation for all people is that if he's back in a Titans uniform this year, and we'll see how the negotiation system goes. You know, they tag him whatever it is, franchise or transition tag. You know, let's just see. The last time the Titans put a tag on anybody was Michael Griffin back in 2012, and I think it was like a week later they took it off. Why? Because they got a deal done. Okay? Let's just, you know, I know that it's talk radio and we've got to panic about this, but, you know, they can't start tagging people till Tuesday.
Right.
And I count me among the people that at this moment, and I may be proven completely wrong, I will be stunned if Ryan Tannehill and Derrick Henry are not back with this team this year, however it manages to get done.
And see, I agree. Here's the thing. I don't think the Titans can afford, you know, one without the other either. And everybody assumes that, well, you can just always tag Derrick Henry. Well, you know, we don't know how Derrick Henry and his representation are going to act if he gets tagged. Because you certainly the way he played this year, you know, the rushing leader – you know, last thing you want, you don't know when that next carry is going to be your last as a running back. And he's quite aware of that.
And that's why they can sit there and say, we got to get something done. You got to reward me for last year.
Yeah.
Because,
and you're
because
not
the same thing you're holding against me is the reason why we need to do it now.
And you're not going to want to do it if you get tagged where it's like there's no – yeah, great, you get the one good year as far as from a contract standpoint, but there's nothing as far as protecting you down the road. So we don't know how a Derrick Henry is going to react if he, by chance, gets hit with a tag.
We don't know how he's going to react, he or Tannehill, depending on what happens and who gets tagged. And remember, the CBA, you know, they may be limited and only able to tag one player, depending on how quickly this all comes together, depending on the player's vote. So I'll just say this. You know, there's nothing to say that, you know, if they tag him, that they can't get a deal done before the deadline.
True.
And have a long-term extension and have them both taken care of. The one thing we've seen under John Robinson in his 4 years is the ability to do deals that, you know, if they need to get out of them, they can get out of them. That's why we're thinking, you know, Cam Wake, as much as he'd like to be back, Deion Lewis, who has 2 years left on his deal, that those are guys who could end up being cut to create some more salary cap space. Why? Because of the way Robinson did those deals. So, you know, you have to grade the situation against the current personnel, the current GM, and the way the Titans have handled business over the last 4 years, not how they did it with Chris Johnson back in the day, or how other teams have handled their business. So, you know, look at this team, and, you know, we'll see how it happens. You know, starting Tuesday, we're going to be keeping a close eye on email and pronouncements from everybody.
Chris Johnson scared defenses. He didn't put the fear of God into them. He didn't have them worrying about their livelihood beyond that Sunday afternoon by trying to lower his shoulder to tackle him. Teresa, let's talk about a little bit of hockey. I was starting my playoff beard. Did I jump the gun after that loss to Carolina? And if you're David Poile, what are you going to do with the trade deadline coming up?
Well, the one thing that they need is defense. And, you know, there's been a lot of guys who've been, you know, defensemen who've been picked up on the trade market over the last week. So the pickings are a bit slim. He may be forced to do nothing and just simply see if Ryan Ellis, who, you know, skated today with Roman Josi and looks like he might, you know, they're going to make a decision tomorrow in Chicago. You know, it looks really good. Maybe he's playing tomorrow night. Maybe it's Saturday back here against Columbus. But if you're getting Ryan Ellis back at the trade deadline, that may be the one move. Would I like to see them add another defenseman? Absolutely. You know, no offense, Dan Hamrose, but his years in the NFL, the NHL, are starting to be apparent. He just looks a step or two slow, and he's just struggling to keep up with skaters. So Ryan Ellis is a fast guy, and that may be the piece that helps fix things for them. You know, David Poile just may end up standing pat for
two reasons.
Ellis coming back, and then two, you know, there's just not anybody out there that really you can get without ridiculously overpaying. So at this point, Lord knows he's got enough money stuck into player salaries. That may be the thing. And just see if the Predators, you know, had won 7 of 10 before the loss to Carolina, if that's the team we see moving forward rather than the team that we saw for so much of the season.
Well, don't you think that they kind of mirror the Titans season until they made the change with Tannehill? And this is a chance, I think, for the guys in that room to all look at each other and say, okay, we've been hearing nothing about what a bunch of underachievers and slackers we are since the month of November. Fellas, or as they like to say in hockey, boys, let's get something done here.
Oh, absolutely, Steve. And here's the thing. Not only are the Titans an example of what you can do to rebound from an ugly start and make it to a win away from playing for the championship, but the Predators did it themselves as the last team into the playoffs to make it to a Stanley Cup final. And just a few months ago, we saw the St. Louis Blues make a coaching change and go from out of the playoffs at the beginning of January to winning the Cup. So, yes, it's absolutely possible. The key is just, you know, and we've seen the Predators playing good hockey. To take two from the Blues last weekend, you know, the defending cup champs, that was a strong weekend. We've seen them play good hockey. Hopefully the Tuesday night game against Carolina was a blip, but Hurricanes had the moms on the trip. And you know, maybe all the mom and dad trips should be over before the end of January, you know, just to avoid having impact on playoff rate chases.
But Teresa, moms take those kids to the rink when they're kids.
Hey, I am all for mom trips. I'm just saying, get them over with earlier in the season rather than doing them in the middle to late February.
Teresa Walker with the Associated Press joining us again. The other part, though, we bring up Carolina, another three-goal loss for this team, and that's this stat from Predict Nation, is the fact that 29 home games this year, 8 of the 29 home games, so basically 3 out of every 10 games the Preds play at Bridgestone Arena, they're losing by 3 goals or more. The stat, you have to go back to the very first season, the inaugural season in 98-99, the last time the Preds lost that many games at home by 3 or more goals.
It's sad. The home court or the home ice advantage is there. The fans are there. They're loud. Everything is going on except on the ice where they are now, 13-12-4 at home this season. Absolutely stunning numbers in that building. And, yeah, the home ice advantage is gone. you know, what makes it a home ice advantage? It's nice to have the sellout streak, the incredible atmosphere, all that, but it does not matter if the team on the ice isn't taking advantage of it and winning games. And, you know, that's the thing. They, you know, they've shown that they can win. They've shown they can win on the road. You know, the big thing for them, particularly with the home-heavy slate that they've got, you know, after tomorrow night, they're back home against Columbus, and then they're here Tuesday, and was it Thursday, Saturday, and then Monday. These are home games that they better make hay on, or it won't matter what David Poile did at the trade deadline. It just won't matter.